Back there. I'll just be brief. For those of you who know me, know that my wife is Eha, and she's from a country called Estonia. And this is Hannes is proof that this country exists. Because it's this morning he preached at our church in Long Island, and someone wrote said, "Oh, he's from Queens." That's Astoria. Check your geography. And those of you who don't know, I was doing missions overseas, and I was actually was in Estonia, living there for about 5.5 years. And I met Hannes back in '99, I think was the first time. And I think my wife has known him and Yuri, his wife, probably about 20 years. And he was the associate pastor of my church in Estonia, where I was, and we did a lot of ministry together. He'll probably talk about all that stuff. It's just a pleasure, a privilege, an honor to know him and just to be his friend. And to he's just a wonderful man. I love you, man. So I just want to introduce him, Hannes Hermakula.
Good morning. Well, actually, good afternoon. Praise God. God is good.
That's right.
His mercy endureth forever. I'm Hannes Hermakula, yeah? And I'm really excited to be here. I enjoyed the worship. It's kind of nice, peaceful and nice. And we've done it so many times before. As Todd said, he led a worship in our church, and then every now and then I got up to preach as well. The country Estonia, it does exist, and maybe I'll give you a little bit about our story and the testimony, and then I do have some words of encouragement as well I'd like to share. Back in 1987, actually, I joined the church. It's an underground church in Estonia. And this church was a bit different than other churches. We used to actually have churches, and we have those medieval town churches built in 1400s, 1500s, and the services are still going on there. Most of them are Lutheran churches, but one of them are actually Baptist church as well, and it's they're pretty much on fire, especially the Baptist one. So during the Soviet times, we had churches in Estonia, but the church I went to, it was different. It was different in the sense that it wasn't registered with the government, and the communist government that was ruling in Estonia, the Soviet system, it was kind of not overseeing the church, but it was controlling the church. You wasn't able to have fun in the church, you know. You wasn't able to preach the gospel on the street. You wasn't able to share. You had to keep kind of quiet, keep by yourself, and then they would let you be in the church. But the church I joined was a bit different. It was on the wrong church. But I have to back off a little bit from there. You know, I grew up in Estonia, which is a real country now. I used to live in Tulsa. We moved. I will get to this part eventually, but we moved. We actually escaped the communism. We ended up in America, and then eventually ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I worked in a pizza joint. We went for the Bible school, and I worked in the pizza joint, which is actually, this is Europe. This is not Oklahoma there. The one circle, the little country circle, if you go north, you see Finland, and after that, there's nothing. That's the end of the world. That's the Arctic Circle. But it's in North Europe, in Scandinavian part, and the culture and everything is quite Scandinavian, even though the Soviets came over and the communism was ruling over in Estonia for like 50 years. When I lived and worked in Tulsa in pizza place, I would deliver pizza, and somehow people noticed my accent when I delivered it to the door. And they would ask me, you know, where are you from? And I said, Estonia. And actually I had troubles of explaining that I am from Estonia, because people didn't sometimes believe me, because at the same time there was this movie, it was called Encino Man. And this movie is about those two kids, they dug in the backyard, and they found this iced man, and it melted and became alive, and he was a strange guy. And parents came home and asked, who is this guy? And the kid said, he's an exchange student from Estonia. And weird guy, you know. And so when I said, I'm from Estonia, sometimes they said, yeah, we've seen the movie. So it's very strange. I had to prove, you know, fight for my right to exist. But there is a country called Estonia, and I am from there. Anyway, yeah, it's in North Europe, close to Finland and Sweden, and it has this Scandinavian feel to it. And I grew up in this country. I love my country. I'm a fan of my country, and actually right now we live in Estonia again, even though for a while we live in the States. When I grew up, it was under communism. After the Second World War, in 1945, eventually the communism, they took over, and for 50 years it was under the communism. And that was the time when I grew up. And I didn't like the system at all. I hate communism. It's very hypocritic. It doesn't it's not right. It doesn't give you free will. It doesn't give you the freedom of choice. It hinders you. And so I grew up under that system, and I didn't like the system at all. But that was all that I knew. Actually, they did the best job to keep you blindfolded. You know, they talk about Iron Curtain. And I guess by the age, you probably all remember the Cold War. 80s, you know, when the Cold War was going on. And I grew up under this, and I was always wondering what's outside there. I had this sense of freedom. Actually, I thought I want to escape. There was some people, they were trying to escape the Soviet Union. Down in Latvia, a family, they escaped with a hot air balloon. You can't really get one. I don't know how they got one, but they get one, and for a couple of years they had to wait for the right weather. Because if you get up and you go rush, you go east, it's very bad. You go straight to Siberia. And so I had this yearning. I wanted to be free. I hated the communism. My grandparents, they got sent to Siberia. After the Second World War, when Soviets came in, my grandfather was an officer in the Estonian army, which was opposing the Soviets. And so he got sent to the prison camp, and then they came, 4 years later, they came and got my grandma. They sent her to the labor camp, and all the, she was living in an apartment, and the house was taken away, and everything was taken away at the time. And I grew up under a different system. I wasn't able to express myself the way I wanted to. They said the way you have to think. If you was born into the Soviet system, they wanted to form you the way, you know, they thought it's best. So I grew up in this system, and I'm Estonian. I speak Estonian. See on üks selline teistsugune keel, mida räägib ainult 1 miljon inimest ja nad räägivad seda seal üleval Eestimaal. Tema saab mõnest sõnast aru. So that was Estonian. So 1 million people in the world, they speak Estonian. That was the language. It's quite close to similar to the Finnish language. And when I grew up, they forced me to learn and speak in Russian. I mean, you can still speak Estonian in your own country, but if you go to the doctor's office or if you go to the police, if you go to different officials, quite often you would have to speak, they would speak only Russian. And that bothered me. It's my country, it's my culture, I want to speak my language. I don't want to speak foreign language. And I hated it at the time. Now I'm glad they made me study it. I can speak little Russian, not that good. Anyway, growing up under this system, you know, I didn't like it at all. I was wondering and dreaming about the free world. We had this Voice of Europe. It's the radio station. Free, I think, Voice of Europe, something like that. That's where, you know, it was able to hear a little bit about what's actually going on in the world. I was talking about this Iron Curtain. They blocked everything. You wasn't able to receive the radio waves, the TV, you can't see what's happening outside. The newspapers, they say only what's, you know, what they like. You don't really get the truth. They're doing their best to keep you from it, you know. And so they succeeded in some sense. And I knew there was a different world out there. So since I grew up in Tallinn, which is the capital of Estonia, it is very close to Finland. It's 50 miles from Finland. And see, north there is Finland. And I was able to watch Finnish TV. And it's a strange thing, the TV was our window to the Europe. Actually, the Finnish TV was our window to the rest of the world. Since the languages are kind of similar, you learn Finnish and then Uganda helps you to learn English as well. So I knew that there is different stuff going on than what the communist government was trying to serve us or tell us. I knew there's something else going on out there. And I watched Finnish TV, I even watched the Finnish news, because the communist news, it's a bunch of lies. So the first American TV show I remember watching from Finnish TV was All in the Family, I believe. The second one was Happy Days. And then I do remember Little House in Prairie as well. That was a decent show. I do remember seeing Ronald Reagan in Westerns. He shot the bad guys. And John Wayne and all these guys, you know. But anyway, it might seem funny, might seem strange, but that was actually, and watching Finnish news, I didn't watch Russian or Estonian news, because the Estonian news, they were influenced by communists, controlled by the communists, all the media. And so I watched that, I grew up under that, and I knew there was a different world out there. Especially, we also had tourists coming from Finland, from Sweden, from all over the world, actually. People came and visited. The Tallinn has a really nice old town. I think we do have a few pictures as well of that. And that's the main square. That's actually where our church was meeting. We had to move eventually. But this building from medieval times, as you can see. So the people would come over and visit our beautiful town. And I see the young people, the my age people from Finland, young guys from Sweden. And they can travel the way they want. They can express themselves the way they want. They have freedom. Freedom of choice, which I didn't. And it bothered me. I actually tried to figure out the way how to escape from the Soviet Union. First I thought I'm going to marry a Finnish woman, then maybe somehow you can run away, you know. First I thought about swimming over. And actually some guys have done that. They steal the boat, they escape from the Estonia, and you know, some guy risked with their lives, some guys got shot, some guys got put in prison, and some guys made it to the Finland. So I was looking for this different world out there. I wanted to experience something different. I wanted to experience this freedom. At the same time, I was in my teenage years, and I wasn't satisfied with my life. I was looking at my life and I thought, I mean, what is ahead of me? What am I living for? I mean, you know, I was at the high school at the time. I would graduate, I would go to college, I would get the degree, I would get married, I would get kids, I'll buy me an RV. Or we didn't have RVs in Estonia. You know, sometimes we didn't even have a toilet paper and bananas and light bulbs and jeans. That's a different world out there. People buy and sell jeans on the black market, and you can get arrested for that, actually. Anyway, but I was thinking, what's the purpose for the whole life? What's here for me? What am I living for? So I was yearning to be free outside, but then inside I was also looking for something else. I was looking for some different order. I don't know, something else. It wasn't exciting. The life, whatever was ahead of me, it wasn't, I thought there has got to be something else. Got to be more to this life than just get up in the morning, go to work and go to bed. I don't think that's the purpose of existence. If you believe in evolution, and that's what they tell us also in our schools, you know, in Estonia as well, then kind of leaves you restless, leaves you without any plan or purpose, or you don't know why you're on here. Why do you exist? You know, it's all just Big Bang Theory. I guess that's the new TV thing you guys have here. Is it Big Bang something?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang. That's strange. But, you know, according to this, you just suddenly appear to this world, and here we are. We don't know why, we don't know what's going on, and we don't know where we're going to, and it leaves you empty. It gives you no purpose, no direction. There is nothing to it. So I was looking for freedom outside, I was looking for freedom inside. And then eventually I joined this underground church, and it was different. I had this yearning inside of me, and I knew, you know, I couldn't find it from anywhere. I thought the last place I'm going to look it from is church. It seemed so religious, it seemed so like, I don't know, controlled. And so somehow, against my will, actually, I ended up in this underground church. A bunch of young people met together, some rockers, punk rockers. I was a heavy metal guy. I had longer hair than Todd at the time, you know. So I went to this church, underground church. We never had a building. We had to meet our pastor's living room in his house. We had, at the time, we had more than 150 people there. Some people actually stand outside. They looked in. The longest meeting we had was 8 hours. The times were different. You know. Now, if we have 8 hour meeting, everybody would leave, even the preacher would leave. The God might leave. I don't know. But I ended up in this underground church, and I was quite surprised. At first, nobody was pointing his finger at me, especially the preacher. I wasn't told that I have to clean up my act and then I'm accepted. I was just invited to hang, you know, if you like it, you know, why don't you hang with us? I saw the ladies whom I used to see maybe in nightclubs and bars, whatever, and the guys were kind of different kind of guys than I used to see in church. So I kind of liked it, and more I got into it, I started to notice they have some weird sense of freedom. They have something the world doesn't have. You know, I used to drink and party, and I used to eat some pills, and I used to sniff whatever you can sniff, you know, gasoline. I just wanted to get high because the world I was living in didn't seem to offer anything. And so I did that for a while. And it got, you know, I got tired of that as well. I thought that's not taking anywhere either. And so I went to this church, and in this church, actually that's the same church I'm going to right now, or I'm hoping to pastor. I sensed something. Eventually I learned it's the presence of God, it's the Spirit of God. But I sensed there is something else, there is something different. And you know, when Pastor prayed here in the beginning, there was it reminded me of the scripture which is in Colossians. It's 1:12-14. It says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Basically, it's talking about the dominion of darkness, that God has brought us out from one place, put us to another place. I grew up in Soviet Union. And you guys, I guess you grew up in America, United States of America, which is a nice place. You know, the gas is so cheap here, gasoline. You guys are so blessed. The weather is so nice. 2 days ago in Sweden, in Stockholm, which is 100 miles west from us, was 40. And the gasoline is $8 a gallon in Estonia. So you better praise God for the cheap gasoline you guys have. I know you do not agree with me. I know, I used to live in Tulsa. I think the lowest I ever paid for the gas was 7-8 cents per gallon. That was early 90s. Anyway, I grew up in Soviet system, which is kind of dominion. I would call it dominion of darkness. I mean, of course, there were some good things. And when I grew up, I had fun growing up as a kid. You know, I love my country. I love my people. I love the place. I love my home. But I hated the system. And then I joined the church. I gave my life to God. And he offered me something else. He said, these things you have been dreaming of, you know, there is actually, I can take you to a different place. Like Bible says, he took us, he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's a different country. I joined the church, the underground church, and this wild ride began. The crazy stuff started. I was dreaming always leaving the Soviet system. I wanted to run away. I wanted to be free. And it wasn't happening. Once I joined the church, it happened within 2 years. God said, I will take you out of Soviet Estonia. And it seemed impossible. Actually, we resigned the citizenship. We gave up a citizenship. You had to pay about 3 months' salary to give up the citizenship. But it wasn't that easy either. We went to the streets. We started to preach the gospel. The KGB was after us. The police was chasing us. They sent spies to our meetings. And, you know, it was wild. I wasn't afraid at all. Now, when I think back, I should have been, I guess, but I was too young to be afraid of. There was lots of it. There was like, I don't know, 200 of us in this church. And so God eventually, he said, I will take God from Estonia, and he did. He kept his promise. And it was a miracle, because usually if you raise against the system, they will send you to Siberia. They will arrest you, and they tried to arrest. They arrested one of us, actually. And they arrested, interrogate?
That's right.
The KGB interrogated us, and, you know, they had all kind of stuff against us. But somehow, I know somehow, actually, by grace and by the mercy of God, the same God we're serving, who's true today, who's doing the same stuff, he's not getting any older, or, you know, he's actually as active. By his grace, by his mercy, he, you know, we was able to make it. And eventually we left Soviet Union, Estonia, and we made it. I stayed in refugee camps for a few months in Europe, and then I made it to America, to Seattle. That was the first place I went to. And you know, when I got here, it's different. You guys look at me and you probably think I'm different. I'm probably one of the only preachers in Estonia who has the yellow shoes. The reason I have yellow shoes, my shoes broke today. It has never happened to me. I was preaching at Todd's church, and when we came home, both of my shoes, they fell apart. I feel pretty good with sneakers. He said, you wouldn't mind. Anyway, I came to States and I have to leave. It's a different mindset. I like it. I love it. I like it. At first it was weird. And I know if you would go to Estonia, I guess Todd can tell you stories about weird things in Estonia. Right? The food, the crazy people, everything is strange. When I came here, people were so nice and it bothered me. You guys are too nice. You smile, especially down in Oklahoma. Even in Seattle, you know, they smile. I'm in store, they come up to me, they smile and they say, how are you? In my mind, I'm thinking, mind your own business. Why do you approach me? Don't come close. Are you a spy? Why? What? You know, it's something sneaky must be about you. I'm serious. That's the way I was grown up. In grocery lines, everybody in Estonia, they come so close. So, I mean, I'm almost, if the other person is here, and I'm really close to him, and then quite often they would look at me, and I don't know what was going on. You know, why they look at me so strange. And there are so many things that were different, that were strange to me. Now I'm used to it, and I'm enjoying it. But what I'm trying to say, it's a different world. It's a different world. And I realized once I came here, you're not, unfortunately, you might not like me to say that, but in America you're not automatically free, because I realized the one who actually makes you free is Jesus Christ. The inside, you got to be free first, inside, and then the rest will follow. But what I realized also, when I wrote back to my friends in Estonia, I said there is a freedom of choice. You can choose, actually. They let you choose. I mean, there is so much stuff going around. It's even more, it seems like more stuff going around here in New York and Long Island and Brooklyn than in Seattle and Tulsa. Everybody's so slow in Tulsa. So intense here. But, you know, there is so, what I'm trying to say, so many things are trying to grab your attention. So many advertisements, so many people, you know, they want your time, they want your money. And, you know, radio waves, everything. I mean, the life is intense. Billboards, everything is going on, you know, all the time. And if you're not careful, you can fall into that, and then you're not paying attention to the kingdom of his dear son. So I got used to the culture. I realized it's different. It's a different system. You have to get used to it. You have to learn it, and then you can flow with it. And you can also glow with it, maybe, a little bit. So I'm trying to do my best. I know my English is my English, basically. But I learned the way the life goes here. And I'm enjoying it. But you're not automatically free. Automatically, you become free when you receive Jesus Christ. He gives you the freedom of choice. You actually can be free inside first, and then outward will follow. But at least you have freedom of choice, which is so great, which is God's thing. You know, in the very beginning, not almost in the beginning. You know, if you go all the way back to the book of... Well, actually, we in Estonia, we have first, second, third, fourth, and fifth book of Moses. Instead of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But in the beginning, there God says, today I present you with a life and death. I don't know how the scripture goes exactly, but the idea is that today in front of you I place the life and death, and then he says, choose life. But he gives you freedom of choice, which I never had in my country growing up. They would tell you that you have to choose, they would tell you that you have to think, and so on. So God has took us out from the dominion of darkness. He has placed us in the kingdom of his son. Different system. And actually there is a choice every day in front of us. What we are going to do. Are we going to follow the God's plan, God's purpose, or are we going to do our own thing? And even though if you're a Christian, if you're going to the church, you still have a choice. It's up to you. What I like about God so much, He doesn't force anything upon you. He doesn't force His plan, He doesn't force anything. He says, here is my thing, here is the world thing you have to choose. And every day there is a choice we have to make. Every day we can choose. We can choose to run with Him, which is a wild ride, which fulfills you, which gives you the pleasure, which gives you happiness. You know, He called us, He placed us into His kingdom, and then He actually He has a plan for us. That was such a relief to me when I realized I don't have to make it on my own in this life. I can actually follow somebody's plan who's much smarter than I. When communist government, they was trying to replace God, and they said you have to follow our great party leaders. They know exactly what's best for you, which is baloney. But God, when I found out that He has created me, He has created you, He has placed me in Estonia, He has placed me in Brooklyn. When I found that out, I was so relieved. I don't have to make it on my own. I have to follow God. And I've been trying to. Ever since I started, it's gone wild. It's crazy, you know. Started with the underground church, KGB, all that stuff. Eventually made it, came to America. And then after a while, we graduated, went down to Tulsa. We got married, my wife and I. Actually have a picture of my family somewhere. We got married in Seattle in 1991. This is my wife, Iri. And now this is Estonia. This is my wife. My wife, Iri, my two sons, Eric. He's with us. He's, I guess, upstairs somewhere. And this is the little dude, is Carl, or Carl. And it's been wild. Anyway, so I got married in Seattle. And we graduated from the Bible school. And all that time, we had this promise of God in our minds. God, back in this underground church, my wife, that's actually where I met my wife. We fell in love in Europe, in refugee camps, working in Italy, and hanging out together. And then eventually, when we came to the States, I went to Seattle, and she went to the Indiana to be with Amish people. That was a culture shock. We never knew about anything about Amish. And we knew the Soviet system is way behind. And then she ended up in Indiana. Horses. Actually, they had cars. And so, but anyway, so eventually, in this little village, one traffic light village, come to find out there was one Estonian guy living in this village. And she ended up living with the family. And eventually, she moved to Seattle, where there was about 20 Estonians in Seattle. I mean, from our church, from the underground church. And so we got married in Seattle in 1991. We moved to Tulsa. We went to the Bible school. We graduated in 1993. All this time, we had no citizenship. By 1995, we was able to become U.S. citizens. And then 3 weeks later, we left. Not that we don't like America, but we kept this God's promise in our mind. He said, I will dig out of Soviet Estonia. I will bring you back when the situation has changed. And when we went back, we actually went back as a missionaries from America, our own country. And we started to work in a Bible school. My wife started to translate Christian books. The underground church we was in, I think our church was the first church where each member had their own Bible. And now, you know, we have Christian literature. We actually have a Christian TV station, Christian radio stations. I'm hosting, doing some different shows in Christian radio stations. And it has changed. You have a freedom of choice now. But anyway, we went back in 1995, and ever since that, we have been living in Estonia, but we come back to States, travel, visit our friends, visit different churches, raise money, and then we go back and live in Estonia. And it's been great. And, you know, God, He opened up so many different doors. Back in when I was still in Tulsa, in 1993, God said, He said two things. First, He said that I will be teaching adults in a school. I had this vision. I was praying. And then He said, He showed me the TV, that I have a TV show. And it seemed totally impossible because we didn't even have a passport to travel at the time, so in Tulsa. But eventually, one thing led to another. We're actually, when I started working Christian radio stations, then government people recognized that. And one of the ministers of the population affairs in Estonia, he used to work with my dad. My dad used to be an actor in Estonia. And so he invited me to do some radio shows, and eventually they invited me to do some Christian, no, some TV shows. And now I'm working on TV as well. But, you know, that's God's plan for me, and that's what I've been enjoying. And ever since I joined God, ever since I joined the kingdom of His Son, it's been wild. It's been, and what I mean by wild, I'm loving it. It is so cool. It is so great. And you know, I haven't done anything for that. All I've done is try to hang on to God, try to follow that. I'm not the great man of faith, power, might, whatever. I'm not the great minister. I'm just Hannes with the yellow shoes, and I'm trying to follow God. I've failed so many times. I've made so many mistakes. I've sinned so many times. But by His mercy, by His grace, not that I'm so great, but because of Him, I've been able to follow Him. And He has such a great plan for each and every one of us. You know, there is a scripture in Matthew that talks about talent. You know that? Talks about, it's in Matthew 25, verses 15, 14 to 28. It's kind of long, so I'm not going to read it all. But it talks about this master who went for the trip. And when he left, he gave some talents to his servants. One guy he gave 5 talents, another guy he gave 2 talents, and third guy he gave 1 talent. And then he left, and he was gone for a while. And then he came back, and you know, the guy who got 5 talents came to his master and said, "Here's the 5 you gave me. I made another 5. I invested them. I used the talent you gave me. I went out there, and I got you another 5 talents. And the master was pleased. The guy who got 2 talents, he went back to his master and he said, "You know, you gave me this life, you gave me the talents, you gave me the opportunity, you gave me freedom to do whatever I want to do with your talents, and here, I made 2 more. And the master was happy again. And then the third guy, the one who got the 1 talent, he hid it. He dug the hole and put it down there. And so when the master came, he brought it up and he took it to the master. He said, here it is." And the master was quite upset with him, rebuked him, and said that, you know, the other guys, he said that, "Good and faithful servant, you've done well, and you know, you get some more. But for this guy who got 1 talent and who never produced another one, who never did anything with his talent, he didn't like this guy at all." And you know, there is this show in America, and since you are America from America, you might know this show. It's called "America is Looking for Talent."
America's Got Talent.
America got talent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know this, right? There is this or the Charges there, which was just talking about that. Is that the show where the Steven Taylor and Jennifer Lopez and these guys were?
That's Idol.
I'm sorry, I get confused. My son is watching it in Estonia. But you know, it says that America is looking for the talent. Do you guys know the Susan Boyle?
Yes.
The lady from England, from a church, who looked and acted weird. And then when she opened her mouth, everybody like was astonished. She's actually coming to Estonia. The Church of Estonia, Churches United, organizing a big thing called Christ Day, and she's coming to sing on the 28th of July. Anyway, actually what I'm trying to say, why I talk about that, the world is looking for the talent, and God has put some talents out there. And I'm looking at you, I'm looking at these talents, and that excites me. Because God, He called you, He invited you, He created the environment for you, and you are His talents. America is looking for the talent. God has prepared this talent that America is looking for, and these talents are you. God has this great big salt shaker. In Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." He wants to salt the earth, he wants to preserve the earth, and he wants to bring his light, his likeness to the earth. So he chose the best people for the job. He gave the best equipment he has for this job. And you can take one guess who are these people. I'm looking at these people, so you take one guess. You are the people. God chose you. God invited you. God gave you the talent or the talents. And if you go and if you run with him, if you follow him, it will be pretty wild. And you will be satisfied. The year I was born, 1969, this man, he started to sing this song, I Can Get No Satisfaction. Mick Jagger and Rolling Stones. This guy and this band is more famous than my country. If you say Rolling Stones, nobody will say that this band doesn't exist. Everybody knows that. You know, the president of my country is Thomas Hendrik Ilves. I don't think you knew that. Even though he grew up in Canada. Anyway, but this man, Mick Jagger, you know, the Rolling Stones, ever since 1969, they sing I Can Get No Satisfaction. 1991, they had their first concert in Estonia. You know what was the first song? I Can Get No Satisfaction. And he has everything. He has fame, he has money, he does what he wants. The whole Keith Richards, the whole band does what they pleasure, what they like. And still they can't get no satisfaction. They're not following the plan of God. I do believe this man has a calling of God upon his life. He definitely has the talent, he's just not using it right. Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And so we have been given the talent from God. We are in the kingdom of his precious Son. The ways, the road is open. It's set up for us. And now the choice is ours. What do we follow? What do we run with? Either with God's plan or our own plan. And I've figured out that God's plan is slightly better. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say slightly. It's way better. It's nothing compared to our own plan. So I'd like to encourage you, like Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift you got. Live in it, immerse. I have to read the scripture. That's the last scripture. It's in 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 16. I forgot my Bible back in Estonia. So there you go. So I figured you can download the Bible into iPhone. I did last night, and now I have my Bible in here. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. And this is God's encouragement for us. You have a gift, you have a calling, no matter the age, whatever who you are. You definitely have a call of God upon your life. Find that out, follow that, and it's going to be either crazy, if you're yearning for adrenaline. Or it will be very peaceful if that's desired now. But God has the best things for you. If you're not going with him, you have to sing the Rolling Stones song. Father, we thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy. We thank the plan. We thank you for the plan. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this country. I thank you for the Christianity in this country. Father, I ask your blessing upon this church. I ask that your plan, your talents will come forth and fulfill your plan. I ask that the salt you have put here will be salty. It will not lose its saltiness. I ask that the light we have and this church has will be put on the top of the hill and people will see the light. Father, we thank you for your calling, the gift you have given us. Please help us to understand that and follow the gift, follow the call, follow the plan of God. Give us boldness, give us wisdom, just when to speak and when to shut up. Father, we are so glad that we are in your kingdom, where the light shines, where the blessing is upon us, where there is a freedom of choice, and help us to make the right decision. Hallelujah. Thank you.